It is in my heart in these days, if the Lord would allow me, to look at some of the times in the Bible when our Lord called people by their name twice. There are seven different occasions when He double name called people. Of course, when my mom and dad called my name twice, it usually was not to congratulate me. These are not congratulatory sections of Scripture. But I believe you'll see as we unpack them, they are very needful. The one I want to look at this morning is a call to salvation. I know many of you here this morning claim to have been down the Romans Road. You've made a profession, you've prayed a prayer. I fear it's going to take you to hell. And I want to see this morning, maybe we just sort of, as we unpack this scripture, examine ourselves and see if we've been down the Damascus Road. Four different roads. I believe with all my heart the Romans Road will take more people to hell than we can shake a stick at. Noticing if you've got the scriptures there in verse number 1, it says, "And Saul," this is the Apostle Paul, "yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him," remember now, seven different occasions our Lord calls people by a double name, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonishing, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord said unto him, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You may be seated this morning. I want us to look this morning at this double name call as a call to salvation. If, and I lay heavy emphasis upon the if this morning, because I don't know your heart, but if you're saved this morning, you have to have experienced a call from God. This is holy ground that we're standing upon, this call to salvation. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Before God ever laid the mud seals of heaven, before He ever throwed a star in space, before He ever made Adam and Eve, God one day cried out, "Tom Gillum, come forth!" That call went down through the ages of time and through the eons of time, finally landed upon the ears of my heart in 1968. But that call was issued long before time began. And I was just wondering this morning, not being nosy, you got any salvation experience like that? God ever called you by His grace like that? As we begin to look in Acts chapter number 9 at Saul's conversion, I noticed one thing that was true of his conversion that there must be true of ours. There must be, first of all, a prior condition. Prior condition. If, and I don't know your heart, if you are really saved this morning, there ought to be a marked difference in you before and after. I don't know if you've ever seen these makeover jobs or people lost 100 pounds, they got a before picture and an after picture. Whenever you see those pictures, the first thing is, whoa, whoa. If you really had a conversion in your life, you really come in contact with the God of glory, people around you, family, friends, they ought to say, whoa, whoa, prior condition. What kind of prior condition did he have? I noticed in verse number 1, there was breathing out. Breathing out. This little word breathing is an animated inhaling and exhaling. It's a little word used for bull snorting. Before Paul was saved, it was... The little word has the idea to be bent towards one particular thing. It is very close to our little word, hail bent. There's some of you sitting here this morning, I don't know if you know it or not, but and I hate to be the first to tell you, but some of you have got the pedal to the metal towards hail. And you can't even break the thing. And you know what the crazy thing is about it? You enjoying the trip. You think this thing, you think one day you're going to end up and trip up and fall in. Woo, I made it to heaven. I wasn't even headed here. I was living like hell and ended up in heaven. Oh, no. No, it won't happen like that, huh? Oh, no. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. You can't get there by chance. Look, we ain't playing horseshoes. You ain't going to throw up. Maybe if I get up close, I'll get in. No. Oh, no. It'll be like that. And you might throw you a leaner. You might even get up there close and throw the dust up there on the stick. But see, the thing is, you got to have a dead ringer. And you can't even throw horseshoes. And the scary thing about it, he ain't going to give you a shot. Are you listening to me this morning? It must be prior condition. He says here in our text, in this breathing out, he says that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughters. That little word threatening means to forbid with mentis. That little word slaughter is an interesting word. It means to murder by slicing in pieces. They talking about terrorists cutting people's heads off over in Iraq. Oh, gracious. Paul was cutting people's heads off long before Iraq even thought about it. Paul was killing Christians for a living long before you think about it. See, he had a prior condition. He had a prior condition. I noticed not only did he involve in this prior condition, preacher, what are you discussing this about? I'm wanting to know if you had a prior condition before God saved you. It ought to be marked difference. It ought to be, you remember what kind of condition it ought to be, don't you? It ought to be one of those, whoa, man, whoa, you different, bud. Man, you ain't the same guy I used to know. I tell you, if there's anything that thrills my heart, is to hear my wife tell other people, say, man, he's the guy I married. He's the guy I walked down the aisle with. Whoa, he's changed, he's different, not the same fellow. Not only is there breathing out, but I notice in verse number 2 in this prior condition, there is a binding up. He says that he desired him led us to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he found any of the way. These were those that were followers of Christ, that he might bind them and bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He could chain them, is that little word, bound. I was thinking about it. If the Apostle Paul was like this prior to his salvation, no wonder he called himself the chief of sinners. Chief of sinners. I have never, ever met anybody that's truly been saved that didn't think they was the chief of sinners after God saved them. If you're here this morning and it's your testimony that before God saved you, you was a good person, you can rest assured you ain't never met God. God don't save good people. God ain't never saved no good people. He ain't never saved no innocent people. He ain't never saved no moral people. Only people God saves is sinners. And it got to be lost sinners. Matter of fact, he said he's a doctor. Called himself Jehovah Rapha. And he put out his doctor shingle 2,000 years ago, and he's got down underneath the shingle that he only takes dead people. Can't help you unless you're dead this morning. Dead and trespasses and you see it. If you're in that state this morning, he can help you. But see, if you're good this morning, he can't help you. He wouldn't dare come near you. See, he's only drawn to sinners, to lost sinners. And I tell you, even since I've been saved, the more, Ken, I tell you, the more I try to draw closer to God, the more filthy I realize I am. Oh, I'm hellish at the core. Woo, I tell you what. If you're going to just fool around with my old nature, you better hold on to your billfold or something. I'm wicked there now. Huh? Vile. Ungodly down there. But I got a new nature. I got the nature of God. I'm just wondering this morning now, do you have any testimony of what you were before? Do you have testimony? I don't care if you're a little old teeny kid. You ought to have had some testimony of being a lost sinner. I was reminded of that this past July down at Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. I finally went to bed 10 minutes to 1. If you could possibly get tired of seeing people get saved, I got tired of it. God saved between 75 and 100 people. I saw 3 preachers get saved. How come they got saved, preacher? Sinners. I saw the 3 preachers stand up and said there had never been a time in their life when they was a sinner until that night. God showed them they was a sinner. You can't get saved if you ain't never been a sinner. See, that's why Paul said he was the chief of sinners. There's some of you sitting here this morning holding on to your morality. You're holding on to your church membership. You're holding on to your baptismal certificate. You are holding on to some silly thing you've done in the past. You have no testimony of ever being a lost sinner. And people would say, looking at you before and after, you remember what they say, wouldn't you? Whoa. Man, ain't the same fella. Don't you reckon people that saw the Apostle Paul, these people that he had hacked up their families, don't you reckon they see him preaching up there at Mars Hill? Don't you reckon some of them say, whoa, man, you're not that same guy wheeling that sword cutting people's head off. Marked difference in his life. Prior condition. But watch the text now. Not only do I see there's a prior condition, but I notice in verse number 3, there is a perceptive condescension. A perceptive condescension. Salvation this morning is not something you do. I don't know why. I guess for over 100 years now, Baptist Church preached salvation something you do. Oh, no. Salvation ain't never had anything to do with you doing nothing.
Salvation is all about what God does. See, salvation is revelation. You can't get saved unless God reveals it to you. Oh, you can go through the motion, pray the prayer, go down Romans Road, German Road, French Road, pray that prayer, make that profession, and get up, continue to be moral, continue to be good, you're still on your way to hell. So salvation is a revelation. And I notice in our text, first of all, there will be a revelation of who Christ is. If, I don't know whether you have or not, can't see your heart, but if you've been saved, there will be a revelation of who He is. You will be overwhelmed with who Christ is. Watch who Paul found Him to be. Verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. If you've ever had a true conversion with God, there ought to have been an experience with light. Paul said in Corinthians, because God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in my heart. Jesus said over in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. He stepped into my heart in 1968 and he said, let there be light. Do you know what happens now when I get around darkness? Sin, I don't like it. How come? When I hear somebody cuss on the TV, you know what I want to do? Cut it off. If I'm watching a movie and they cuss in the movie, I just want to cut it off. I don't want to watch the rest of it. How come? Darkness. And I got light. And light don't like darkness. I was wondering, you got any light? Or can you hang around darkness and not feel uncomfortable? It's because ain't nobody ever stepped inside of you and said, let there be light. It was a light. He realized there's a revelation of who Christ is. But watch the text. Verse number 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice. Somebody says something. There is a word. There is a revelation of who Christ is. If you're saved this morning, there ought to have been a new relationship with your Bible. I notice some of you don't even have one. Hello. See, if you're saved this morning, there'll be a marked difference in you. They'll see you coming to church like this now. They're going to see you and say, whoa, man, he ain't never brought no Bible with him before. He got a Bible with him now. Whoa. Man, what a difference. Man, he done got it bad. How come? Because he knows that's how he got in. He got in through that word. You can't get in without a word. God's got to give you a word. I remember, it's 1968. We're knocking on soon being 40 years. But I remember what the preacher was preaching on that morning when I got saved. He was preaching on the woman at the well. And I realized I was thirsty. And if somebody would have told me on that back row when I come in, because I'm introverted, I've told you this before, I've been in 10th grade 3 different times. I'm scared to death that people took 0 on all oral book reports. I ain't being public about nothing. Huh? Sitting on that back row. Somebody told me I was going to come down that aisle screaming, I'm going to hell if I don't get saved this morning. I told you was crazy. How come? Light come on. Got a word from God. Oh, grace, I'd like to have a nickel for every time I pray the sinner's prayer before then. I'd be rich. Huh? Every time I get scared, I'd pray the sinner's prayer. But I tell you, I didn't pray nothing that morning. Huh? I never did pray the sinner's prayer that morning. I couldn't quit crying. But I got some light. And I heard a word from God. There's a revelation of who He is. Chapter number 9, look at verse number 5. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." That little phrase, "I am," that is the same little phrase that is used for the one that spoke out of Moses' burning bush. Hey, I'm telling you, this is not some good man like the Jehovah's Witnesses say. And he's not some a good prophet like a Muslim and the Hindus say. This is Jehovah God speaking. Huh? This ain't some little baby you can take out and play with and put him back up. Oh, no! It's the God of the universe. Jesus, God the Father, one and the same person. I remember the day God revealed that to me. I saw it. I didn't have to have no preacher tell me that Jesus Christ and God the Father were one and the same. I saw it. God turned the lights on. Revelation of who He is. Are you listening to me this morning? He says here in verse number 5, He said, "Who art thou, Lord? Adonai, Master." Revelation of who He is. Who is He? I tell you one thing, when I got saved, He became my Lord, my Master, my boss. I was under new management. I couldn't go like I wanted to go. I couldn't dress like I wanted to dress. I couldn't talk like I wanted to talk no more. I had a new boss. He was my Master. I don't know if this will make you mad or not. I hope it don't. If He's not Lord of everything you've got, He's not Lord at all. You're still on your way to hell. He can't be Jesus, not be Lord. He can't be your Savior, not your Master. He cannot be your Savior and you still call the shots. Won't work. Revelation of who He is. But I notice in our text, oh, don't miss this. I hate to even show you this. I know you ain't going to believe it. Not only is there a revelation, we're talking about a perceptive condescension. We're looking at Paul's salvation. Now, we do know that Paul's in heaven, right? So, there's got to be some kind of similarities to what I got and what he had. Because you know he made it. And we trying to make it, right? We want to make it. So you probably want to compare a little bit what he had and what you got. And if you know, if there ain't no similarities what you got and what he had, whoa. You better check up and see what you got.
Well, I tell you, I got what the Baptist preacher had.
Well, there's one thing about it. Paul didn't get his from no Baptist preacher. Oh, no. I'd trade it in if I got it from a Baptist preacher. Huh? Not only is there a revelation of who Paul is, a revelation of who Christ is, but there's a revelation of who Paul is. Look at verse number 6. And he, trembling and astonished. That little word trembling there means to quake or to be terrified. The little word astonished is to be extremely struck with great fear in the mind. I want you to see this. It's so good. This is the only thing that Paul did in order to get saved. Did you notice there is no mention of him praying in his sinner's prayer? There's no mention of him coming forward on the third verse of "Just as I Am." There ain't no mention of him.
I got saved right over here. You hear that?
Ain't no mention of that. The only thing the Apostle Paul did was that was his part. God did everything else. I was a wonder, when you stand up and tell people about how you get saved, is there a lot about what you did? Because I promise you this morning, if there's a lot about what you did, about what you prayed, when you prayed, where you were at, and how you said it, and all that, you ain't got nothing. Salvation ain't about what you did. Salvation about what he did. There's a revelation of who Christ is. There's a revelation of who Paul is. This thing's not in our profession. This thing's not in our prayer. Matter of fact, you get around, you start hanging it on your decision. We're so decision-based now. But I pray, you get there. Oh, I don't know if I prayed it just, I don't know if I said it just right, or I don't know if I kneel it on one knee or both knees. I don't know. Oh, God, I'm so mixed up. See, if you didn't do nothing, you ain't got to worry about what you did. If you did it right, how in the world can you do nothing wrong? Huh? How can you have any doubts about nothing? It's hard to mess up nothing. Huh? See, that's how come you having doubts about your salvation now. You think you did something. If you ever get a Holy Ghost filled salvation where you didn't do nothing to get it, you will never doubt it again. You realize you didn't get it. Because see, if it's morality, because see, if you mess up tomorrow, you let out one of them little old cuss words tomorrow, you're going to think you lost it. You listening to this? Oh, there's a revelation of who He is, a revelation of who we are. Not only do I see in this text, is there a prior condition? It must be a prior condition. Do you have a prior condition? Oh, my. I could write a book this morning about my prior condition. Oh, I'm so wicked. Oh, I'm so ungodly. I tell you the truth this morning. I think about it often. Not only am I amazed that God saved me, so wicked as I was, but that God would keep me saved. I still think now maybe He ought to go back and check the books again and still let me go on to hell, really and truly. I don't know about you. I know y'all are good people. But I've done things in the last 40 years since I've been saved, give God all reason to send me to hell right now. There's a perceptive condescension. There's a prior condition. But I notice in verse number 4, and this is so important, there is a personal call. Salvation is a personal thing. And I notice in our text, if you've got it there this morning, in verse number 4, there's a pointed call. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. This is an authoritative figure giving a double name call. I want you to see this morning in this pointed call that it is not a general call to the gospel. That's the call your preacher gives. That's the call I give. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, let him come drink. Whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. God doesn't give a general call to the gospel. I fear some of you here this morning, you answered a general call to the gospel. Preacher was preaching, maybe he was preaching about hell, you got scared, you got all fuzzy, wuzzy inside, and you come forward, you prayed some little old prayer, and you got up, and you feel like, well, I think I straightened it all out. But there's no more difference in you. See, God don't give a general call of the gospel. He gives an effectual call. The morning that He saved me, it just seemed like I was the only person there. Tom? Tom? You say, preacher, you mean you heard Him up here? Oh, no. I heard Him down here. But it's so loud down there, I thought I was hearing Him up there. I was looking around, maybe He's talking to somebody else. Personally, it's pointed. Is effectual. Now don't miss this. If God ever calls you, He only calls lost people. He'll show you that you're lost. It's the only kind of people that it'll be an effectual call. Not only will He call with the ability to come, but there will be the assurance that you will come. Oh yeah, you coming. He sends a high sheriff to heaven after you. You coming. And you're going to be different when it gets done with you, or you going to the graveyard. The choice will be yours. But you coming. Are you listening to Him? You say, well, how about my free will? Oh, He's going to change that. Oh, he's going to change that. He'll let you operate in that little old world of your decision, make you think you're doing something. But it's because you've gotten in there and changed the whole thing. Huh? You ain't never going to choose God in that depraved will you got. My will ain't never took me to God. I don't take my own will likes hog slop. Huh? He never took me to God. But he overrode that today, he saved me. It's a pointed call. But I notice in verse number 4, it's a pressing call. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Made this statement. He said, I am Jesus, verse number 5, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That little word, kick against the pricks, is a constraining goading. 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 Listen to me this morning. All conversions, true conversions, will be accompanied by Holy Ghost conviction. You're hanging out over lostness. I was wondering this morning, maybe we just start right here. We'll go through the crowd. We'll cross over and come back down this side. Cross over here, go back up that side. We'll just go row by row. As we go row by row, we'll just stand up. I don't want you to tell all of you told about that salvation stuff this morning. I want you to tell me about how you got saved. I want you to tell me about when you was lost. God hanging out over hell. Tell me about that Holy Ghost. Oh, don't be looking in no bathroom. I ain't going to do it. Some of you kidneys are moving on you. Some of you thought you lost something down there on the floor. Whoa, this thing's going to go through the crowd. Whoa. Man, I'm going to have to put up a shut up. Some of you look as scared as I ever see you look. Huh? You know how come you're scared? You got no testimony. Oh, you can talk about some little profession you made, some little prayer you prayed. See, Paul had he'd had that goading of the Holy Ghost. God had hung him out over hell, pressed on him. It is a personal call. Watch the text now. Call to salvation now. Not only is there a prior condition, there's a perceptive condition, there's a personal call. But I notice in verse number 8, there's a prayerful communication. Prayerful communication. Verse number 8, and Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. When Paul was truly converted, his earthly eyes failed him. Earthly eyes failed him. Are you listening to me this morning? If you're truly saved this morning, you ought to find in your heart and in your life that the things of this earth are growing strangely dim to you. You're getting a dislike for this world. If you find yourself loving this world, putting yourself deeper into this world, deeper roots into this world, I tell you, the high sheriff of heaven will never come after you. The high sheriff of heaven come after you. Just something about the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. You keep wanting to turn your eyes away from the visible and turn your eyes towards the invisible. Towards the invisible. Earthly eyes failed him. I notice not only did his earthly eyes fail him, but I notice that his eternal eyes focused. Verse number 11, the Lord said, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. He's telling Ananias to go over there, speak to Paul. He said, inquire at the house of Judas, one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he what? Time out! Hold on! Yesterday, he hacking heads off. You believe in Jesus? What are you doing now? He praying. You know what that make me want to say? Whoa. Man, this guy's changed. He's getting his eternal eyes focused. Focused on the things of God. He's praying. You know, we're living in such a decision-based salvation. I was a-wondering this morning, What came first in your salvation, faith or regeneration? Huh? What came first in your salvation, faith or your awakening, your quickening? What came first? Surely, do you believe this morning that your decision caused you to be awoke? Or do you think that your awakening caused your decision? Are you listening to me this morning? See, the process of salvation that we have found in Paul's conversion here is first there was a light, then there was an awakening, then there was a voice or a word from God, then there was a brokenness, he fell upon his face, then he believed, last of all, he made his confession. I tell you what, correct me if I'm wrong. I was in 70 Baptist churches last year. I guarantee you 60 or more of them would have Paul's conversion reversed. They would say it like this. There was confession. There was belief. There was brokenness. There was a word from God and a voice. There was light. There was an awakening. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, no, hon. You say, preacher, can you prove that from the Bible? Oh, I wouldn't have brought it up if I couldn't prove it.
That's right.
Romans 10, Romans Road. Ain't that what y'all believe? Ain't that what you thought got your faith? Romans Road said this, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and confession is made with the mouth. First of all, you must believe in your heart unto righteousness, and then there is confession made unto salvation. When you prayed your little prayer, the reason you prayed it is because God had already saved you in your heart. It's the only reason you prayed the prayer you prayed, if you prayed the prayer. And if you're like me, I never even prayed the prayer. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about a prayerful communication. I close with this thought, and I'm done. We're talking about a call to salvation. There's got to be a prior condition, perceptive condescension, a personal call, prayerful communication. This is my favorite part. Verse number 15 is a powerful change. Powerful change. Verse number 15 is a change vessel. For the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Talking to Ananias now, for he is a chosen vessel. Chosen vessel. That little word chosen there is picked out of a group. Prefer one over another. Lord said, I was looking down there on Jerusalem, and he said, I saw me a terrorist down there hacking heads off. He said, he's mine. I picked him. Whoa. I don't know about you, I wouldn't pick him. I'd have him alone. If anything, I'd have pulled a rug out from him and even let him go on to hell. Huh? But the Lord picked him, chose him. I was thinking about that. You know, when I stepped on the shore of salvation, you're like old Columbus when he discovered the North American continent. The only thing old Columbus knew about that was just that little old sandy shore along the Atlantic Ocean there. Man, he didn't know that thing go clear to California. He didn't know that thing go clear to Canada and way down south. Man, all he thought was just this little old word. Man, he started, that's the way salvation was with me. When I come on shore there at salvation, man, I didn't know this thing I was chosen before the foundation of the world. I didn't know I didn't have, I thought that little old prayer I prayed did all that. Huh? I like a gnat on the back of a elephant's back going across the bridge, it rattling the bridge, and me whispering in the elephant's ear, say, "Didn't we rattle that bridge, bud?" Huh? Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, I tell you, when you get into salvation, you begin to discover some things. if you're saved, there will be a changed vessel. Not only did he say he was chosen, but he said in verse number 16, he says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Not only did he chose him as a vessel to go to heaven, but he said, "I've chosen him to suffer." Hey, you fighting hell by the acre? You say, "Preacher, I could write a book about the trouble we're having in our family." You quit sucking your thumb. You quit whining now. God said, if I picked you and I put you in my family, he said, "I want you to know you're going to fight hell by the acre before you get to heaven." Huh? We ain't on no good ship lollipop. Huh? Oh, no, this ain't going to be smooth sailing. This thing's going down. You'd have to get your board and float on in the shore. You listen to me? Powerful change. But I notice in verse number 17, not only is there a changed vessel, it's a changed vision. Ananias went his way and entered in the house, putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul." He called him brother now. Whoa. This is the hacking man. Brother. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Hey, you have any change in you? Really and truly, you're on your way to heaven. Now, be honest with me now. You find church boring. You're bored out of your gourd right now. The only reason you come is because of Easter. Huh? You know good and well God don't want to take you to heaven and you be bored up there all your time. There ain't going to be no races up there. There ain't going to be no stores up there. There ain't going to be no Braves baseball. There ain't going to be nothing up there. There ain't even going to be no TV for you to watch. Huh? Ain't going to be no video game for you. Just one continual eternal service. Why in the world do you think God won't take you somewhere where you be bored? You ain't got to worry about it. He will take you somewhere where you'd be bored. Oh, no. Changed vision here. He said, "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that he mightest receive thy sight." Scales fell off of Paul's eyes. He could begin to see what is eternal and what is temporal. I tell you, if there's anything that happened to me when I got saved, God began to grow me. I began to see what was real and what was not real. I began to see what was eternal, what was temporal. Changed vision. He says, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. I love this, verse number 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales. See sight therewith and arose and was baptized when he had received what? Wanted some meat. The Bible said this book is meat. I tell you, if you're saved this morning, you want to get into the Word of God. Received his sight, he was strengthened. Then we saw certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. I don't know about you, I'll testify for you this morning. But I bless the day that I heard that double name call. Tom! Tom! God awoke me, broke me, changed me, caused me to confess with my mouth that he had done something in my heart. I wonder this morning, has there been an effectual call in your life? Or have you just been down the Romans Road, German Road, French Road, had an experience with religion?